Well, you guys know it's planting season and all that other good stuff, so I went down to the farm a little bit this week and the end of the week to try to help Dad out, but of course there's too much rain, so we didn't do any of that. But Sue Hoover's brothers, Tom and Sam, were down, Tom from Ottumwa and Sam from New York, so my dad and I went down and had a good talk with him, and we were talking about farming, and Tom said, "Do you know how to make a small fortune farming, don't you?" And I said, "You know, I don't know, maybe you should tell my dad. I don't think either one of us figured that one out." He says, "Well, you have to start with a big fortune. And then you end up with a small one." So that's my farming joke for you this morning. Farmers aren't laughing, but everybody else is. They're like, "Oh, dear." Well, I say the biggest lessons in my life come from the simplest of things. And I was working in the garage last week, and I was working on the camp's golf cart. I had to overhaul the dumb thing because I told Chip that I could bypass the governor and we could get it going real fast. And by doing that, we blew up the engine. And it wasn't my fault because the seal had gone out around the crankshaft and there was no oil in the engine. So really, it wasn't my fault, but it really was because you know how it works. So I'm working on this golf cart and working in the garage, and Tyler gets up from his nap, and he comes to the door outside, and he opens the door. He says, "Daddy, come look. Come look." And, of course, from here, I just see a purple card, so I go over, and if I look real close, and his eyes are so big, and he's so excited, and there's a little orange scribble on here that you can't see, and I say, "Oh, did you do that for me?" "Yeah." "Oh, thanks, buddy." He said, "Uh-huh." So he closed the door and went back inside. And so I continued working, and a couple minutes later, he opens the door again and says, "Daddy, come look, come look." So I went and looked again, and here he had done some more on his little picture for me. I said, "Oh, thanks, bud. Did you do that for me?" "Uh-huh. Thanks, buddy." So he goes back inside, and I'm working again, and he comes out the third time, and here he's done the backside of the card, and he's got about six different colors on here, and he had made this beautiful card for me. And he was just so excited to show me what he had done for me. Now, of course, I'm excited about this card because he took the time to color it. Now, it's simple, but beautiful for me. You have to look close. You know, it's three-year-old scribbles. But to a father, it's a beautiful thing. So I told him it was beautiful. I thanked him, told him I loved him. And he did this the three times. And each time, I thought the card got more and more beautiful. Now, each time that he came to the door, his heart was written all over his face. This card was made for one reason, and it was to give me something special from his heart. Something that he made out of the love for me. Because Chandra didn't have anything to do with this card. Usually she sits him down and she writes something, then he scribbles on it. But no, this was all him. He found the card. He found the crayons. He picked out the colors. He picked out what picture he was going to draw. And then he drew it for me. Now, if you look at this card, anyone could just say that, you know what, it's just scribble. I could do better, and maybe to the standards of the world, you could do better. But I think what's important to understand is that no one else's view of this card is important. The only person's view that matters when looking at this beautiful gift is me, because I'm his father, and he's my son, and he did it just for me from his heart. Now, it's not beautiful. It's not beautiful because of the colors. It's not beautiful because of the picture. It's not beautiful because of the card that he picked. It's beautiful because it's from his heart. And this card, I told you this is going to be a simple message, right? This card represents my life. And I can do so many different things with my life. And the scribbles on it are the things that I do. I can draw beautiful pictures, I can help people, I can preach, I can go to work, I can love my family, and I can serve my God. And when I die, there will be scribbles all over this thing, won't there? They're the same for everyone else. Now to another person, they may look at my life and say, "I did better. I had a better life than you. The things that I did carry more meaning. I served more people. I drew a more beautiful picture. I'm just a more beautiful person, so of course, my life is worth more." But this card of mine and this life that I've been giving, this life that I'm living, is not for anybody except for my Father, because he gave it to me, and it's to be lived specifically for him. Now, just as a father, I look past the scribbles on my child's card and I see the heart that is in this card, and it is so beautiful. And so our Father looks past our lives and our deeds and looks into our hearts. If you want to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a verse that we've read many times. It's a verse, if you want to know about love, if you want to read it, you know, I'm sure that we're going to speak about it. We're going to learn about it a lot more in the future. But he starts in verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now what Paul is teaching us here in chapter 13 is that what matters is the matter of our hearts. You see, without love, without the love that was behind this card that Tyler did for me, it's just a piece of paper. It's just a little bit of wax, colored wax, scribbled on an old tree that somebody cut down and turned into a piece of paper. It's meaningless without the love. But because it was done with that love, it has more value and it has more meaning to me than any painting ever could. You know, the Mona Lisa is viewed as such a wonderful, priceless work of art, but this means more to me than that. And I told Tyler, I'm going to take that to my office and I'm going to hang it up because that's the first picture you've ever drawn for me. And when I got up to go to work the next day, he said, you going to take your picture to your office, Daddy? And you bet I am. Now, it's easy, very easy to lose our perspective and start looking left and right, isn't it? So easy to start looking at what other people are drawing, comparing ourselves, comparing our lives, comparing our deeds. Saying, who's got the better drawings? Saying, you know, I can draw faster or I draw slower. I've got prettier colors. And as we compare lives, who we live for starts to change, doesn't it? We start to live more for our neighbors than we do for our Father. We start to do things more because of what our neighbors are doing than we do for our Father. Tyler didn't do this sitting next to some kid saying, this is better than yours, and I'm giving this to my dad. No. There's an important lesson in Matthew chapter 18, if you'd like to turn there. And it's about the disciples. And the disciples, with all the time that they spend with Jesus Christ, all this time that Jesus spends teaching them, you know, they're his disciples. They're gleaning from him all of this godly knowledge that he has. And yet, in his presence, they still don't understand, and they're looking at one another. They start asking Jesus, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to be better, basically? And Jesus' reply, this is chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. I'd like to read just a little bit out of a book called Abba's Child by Brennan Manning. And he's talking about this very specific thing, and I think he puts it very well. In the competitive game of one-upmanship, the disciples are driven by the need to be important and significant. They want to be somebody. According to John Shea, every time this ambition surfaces, Jesus places a child in their midst or talks about a child. The sharpness of Jesus' answer in Matthew 18 has not always been appreciated. Jesus says, there is no first in the kingdom. If you want to be first, become everybody's lackey. Return to your childhood, and then you will be fit for the first place. Jesus leaves little room for ambition. He leaves no more room for the exercise of power. Lackeys and children are not bearers of power. Now, what a great lesson that is, because here's the disciples. You would think that if anybody was going to understand how to focus on God, it would be the ones that were learning directly in his presence, right? With him right beside them, teaching them everything. But no, they still have this desire, this some sort of need in them to be better, or to have a greater worth, or to be measured by their worth, compared to the other disciples. Now, we are intended to be as children who love their Father and focus our lives on him. Looking to God for our appreciation, looking to God for our worth, looking to God for our value and our beauty, not at one another. And I think about this card. If Tyler would have shown this card to anybody else, they wouldn't have understood it. Because that's my child's heart that I know. If he would have drawn this for anybody else, I don't think they would have responded the way I did, because I don't think anybody else loves my child the way I do. It's the same thing with God. We are his children. Who are we looking at today? Are we looking at each other? Are our hearts focused on our Father? The things that we're doing, are we double-checking, making sure that what we're doing is out of love? Because what Paul says, if you're doing all this stuff and it's not out of love, you might as well not be doing it, because it doesn't mean anything without it. Just like if this was some assignment that Tyler did and he just closed his eyes and whatever, here you go, Dad. Here's your card. Wouldn't mean anything. But that one little word, love, is the biggest thing that we can do for our Father. Are we doing things out of love? It's a simple message, but you know what? It cuts down to the very core of the reason for our existence, doesn't it? We were created out of love, we were created for love, and we were created to love, by God, to God, and for God. We are children, and our Father loves everything that we do for him out of love. As we go this week, let's keep that in our minds, let's keep that in our hearts. Are we looking left and right, or are we keeping our focus on God and the things that we do for him? And just as I love this card so much that Tyler made for me, so do the things that we think are just chicken scratch or just scribbles. When God looks at your heart, he looks down at you and says, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message this morning, and I just ask that you would just write it into each and every one of our hearts, Father God, and that we would focus solely on you, not even have a thought cross our mind that so-and-so should be hearing this. Or somebody else could really learn from this message, because that's their problem, not mine. But we all have this problem, Father God. We all have this complex that comes from being in the world. And I pray that you would just remind us, Father God, that what we do out of love is beautiful to you and it is priceless to you. And that our worth only comes from you, from no measure on earth, but only from you, our Heavenly Father. Amen.